the devil won't eat his own brother. My father repeated that to me till I died in my heart. And we tested it. We put a third test on that. Third test. He didn't have much more trouble. It was rabbits. And with insects either. That's just about as good an insecticide you can use. It's the juice of a bull. One. Stew them up. And spray it. With it. And they won't, they're quit. You know, you see, the second day of May, you ever know what they call a horse god? Catches flies off of horses and cows, cattle.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't think you do. Well,
no, I think you got me there, Mr.
Now,
Jack.
Remember this. The second day of May, you might not have heard one, but that's the day to bust out.
Mm.
If everything's favorable, second day of May, you may hear a thousand if you're in the right place.
Of course, God.
They'll come out and they'll get down on the ground. There's a fair place and kind of hard soil and damp soil, and they'll dig holes. Horse guard. They'll seem to dig them a home to go into or something. And they'll just hear them. I heard my bees around a hive almost. Horse guard. And now, you know, you heard about Groundhog Day, had you?
Mm-hmm.
Second day of February?
Yeah.
Well, they had another one. They had the bumblebee. And a certain day they come out.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the first one come out this year.
Yeah.
And I knew where to look for them. I heard, sitting down on the back door steps, I heard the horse guard. Horse guard come out. Wasn't many. Too dry. Enough to let you know. That's the day.
What is the horse guard, Mr. Boyd? I don't know.
Well, he flies around. He's something in kind of similar to war or something like that.
Oh.
He just fly around cows and catch those flies and eat them.
Oh.
Yellow flies. These are the old flies that bite horses.
Oh,
you know, them? Certain day for yellow flies.
Yeah.
To hatch out. I don't believe I'm so well acquainted with that day, but further on up in the sea.
Oh, them old yellow flies, those sort of small yellow flies, they really bring the blood.
Yes, there's nothing to them till a certain day of the year. And they hatch out by the evening. And the other way he bites you, it stings and hurts.
Yes, I've had them bite me.
Boy.
They hurt. I'd just soon have a wash get after me, one of them.
Well, in condition, kind of delays it sometimes or hampers it, but they have a certain day.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord so provided in certain localities and countries and places, these things come alive on that day.
Yeah. Mr. Boyd, I've got to go. Let me tell you, I've got a little old target over there. I'd have to be pretty close to a crow if I hit him. But that's all I got. It'll shoot farther than a shotgun.
Little witch, you said, Lotha?
Yeah. I got a sight on it.
Yeah.
I got, you know, one of those fine sights on it to where I can hold it on him all right.
Yeah.
If he just stay there long enough for me to sort of get to him, I'd kill a crow. But I never had any luck killing crows. They'll sit around there till I go out there with a rifle, and then they'll leave.
Well, I don't know where I'm going. Now,
I'd like to have a...
I did have a several.
I like to have a rifle that's a little better, bigger than a 22. Or if, maybe I'd like to have just a little better 22. One that'll carry just a little farther, you know, got a little bit more power.
You don't want anything that doesn't even come to you. Man, that thing is almost good for several yards, many yards, 100 yards, and stuff like that. Almost far as you can see the feet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you get any further than that, you have to have one of them straps to hold the gun straight.
I'm slipping pretty rapid. And it seems like it's been in the last 3 months. I'm not as active as I was. My sight, feel, fire, all I can do is I just doesn't show up all at once. Bothering it's just the slow and gradual.
Well, are you getting plenty to eat?
Plenty to eat? I don't know if I'm not. Maybe in the class, but I'm getting it in and don't need it. Harder to the contrary. I think I'm suffering or something other, kind of like malnutrition. Not high blood, but low blood.
Uh-huh.
And the food that I eat may not punch enough of vitamins.
Yeah.
And I eat too much. I think sometimes I can stay hungry money all the time.
Oh, really?
And I don't feel so pushed out and often bad, and I held up with good vim. Looked like when my wife died, I passed out, and I just, on account of being despondent, so I picked up vim, sort of, in a way. But it seemed like it's not gone its course. I guess, we kind of want to go back to yoga.
If you sit down at the table with these, with Tommy and these young people that got all that food out there and just eat along with them, I think that'd help you. Come over there and eat with me.
Like Tommy, you say?
Yes.
That's my son?
Yes.
Well?
Tommy and Mitchell and all them fellow boys.
Well, my sons and daughters have got the hands full in a way. If you'll pardon me, I can explain in a way that you can understand it better. Well, in-law is not blood kin.
No.
Everybody's got their own notion. As the old woman said, why don't you kiss the cow? And you're supposed to love everybody, but nature seems to run the highest towards your own children. Maybe that something makes us lean that way.
Mm-hmm.
But in-laws, something makes us lean that way.
Mm-hmm.
But in-laws, sometimes it's awful full profit. If you don't make up your mind, you can put up with look like more than you can bear. Why, in-laws don't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're picking, they're not picking too cheap.
Yeah.
To me, they pick to suit themselves, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And in one way, God will say it ought to tickle us, but they ought not be forced to put up with too much that we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of grinds your nerves. That's part of the problem. In my case.
Mm-hmm.
And when a man's at home, and altogether on his own hooks, got to do and must do and do his way, when you lose out with your sight, things of that kind, everybody can't come in and give you orders what to do and how to do. It takes my best to do what I know.
Yeah.
And I have to feel for that, part of it. Well, they're young and they're always looking for trouble, seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And crowding the monkey. And don't have to go very far before, if you don't ever hear it, there's something dead up the branch.
Mm-hmm.
It kept on and went on, and they done so many wrongful things for me. And there's something right up the branch.
I've heard you all.
If you will stay, I'll fix you some dinner.
Mr. Boyd, I know you would, and I appreciate it. I need to get on, and I tell you what, I'll be over here again. I'll bring that little rifle, and if I see you, we'll
out here and look around.
That's all right. I couldn't use it.
Well,
I can't see who use it.
Well, I can use
that
it.
That old crow is nothing but too much harm. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Comes up here and beats on and then down here and hunting hen eggs and all such as that. And it's not the hen eggs now because I don't have any chickens.
Yeah.
These birds that I have down here, you know, I was born and raised with the splendid birds.
Yeah.
And I got fond of birds when I was a child.
Yeah.
And I still fond of birds. And so, it's sort of say about them, they're on their job, work, and they have to hurry. If you see any of that, I said, to hurry, see George.
Yeah.
And no time to waste. They'd come bring me something to eat. They did come yesterday for a wonder. And brought me some food. I just got through the dinner, just some eat. A plenty, drink a plenty. And maybe they'll bring more than a meal. Only what it takes to do me for a meal. And if they don't keep up with what they're doing, then others can come along and bring you something too.
Yeah.
Well, it's either going to get stale, you got overeat or something of that kind, and take care of it.
Yeah.
As it comes just after you eat, you then go sit down and eat another full meal.
No,
I'll tell you that now.
Can't do that.
So it's not, the way they handle it, it's worth but little.
Yeah.
I got to go buy my groceries just the same, and I got to cook and prepare for myself.
Yeah.
And I'm explaining it so you can thoroughly understand it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Kitchen, but I see them everywhere out here. They walked all over the field.
Mm-hmm. Follow a track. But you've got so many tracks here. Cow tracks. Car tracks. They would have a choice.
I haven't seen a distinct trail anywhere. You see where they walk through the field, but where do they come into the field? That's where you only get them.
Yeah. Be like they come in all along.
That's right, everything. Just in the woods and
they come in.
In the woods and God, are you seeing any fresh cuts start running along?
I haven't really been looking for them. I've just been watching the track.
I've been looking over here to see if I can see a tree. Not with that much, you know, fall to the age of it. But it had been well taken care of.
Yeah.
And he would have found him. I don't know, I need 350. Billy said that's what it should be with. That long ago.
Uh-huh.
And he told me not to give him a dime over 350. So I told him I'd give him only in 300. He said no, can you talk that? So, I went back and got a check deal for $400. And I carried it up there. 'cause I'm a little bit desperate, you know, for a car. And I looked and looked, and everything else looked more like junk, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, did you get this one deal?
Right from Ridgeway.
When are you taking it?
Yeah, I didn't take in anything.
I say, when he taking in?
Yeah, when he taking in, there's Elizabeth Fay. She works at the hospital, you know? So he said, no, he said it to me $450. $400. If you want it okay, if you don't okay, then I just couldn't do it. So that's all I'm gonna do. Then, so I started to leave, and he's this old Hoyt Hammond is where I was trading with there. And he started back to the office, and I stopped and I said, "Hey, Hoyt." But I remember I'm still in the market, seeing things. He said, "Okay." So he said, "Take it." So I went back and bought it for $100.
Plus tax.
No, well, let me see. Yeah, I did have to pay
2%.
That's right. Yeah, I
had to pay
tax on that.
That's what I had to pay.
I did have to pay tax on
it. I paid $900 for this.
I had to check for one, and I had to pay him cash out of the tax. Yes, sir, he's doing the job now. I can't do it. I used to do that. I had to do it, but I couldn't do it now. I told him last year that I was willing, but I just couldn't do it. I really didn't want to try.
He likes to get out of the store there, right? He stays out as much as he can.
Well, actually, God, it's helped him. He's tough enough. He said that. The other day, he said he was sore as hell for about 3 days, but then when he got over it, he was all right.
Yes. Let me put this gap up and it is.
Charlie Reed is Johnny's brother. A long time ago, when everything had to come by rail, you know. Reed of Paris, I guess they just found out about it down here. And I think it was Mr. Richardson had a small bull, about like one of these, come in by express one day. And they put him off on the depot there. And everybody was around looking at it. And somebody said, "That's a heifer, didn't it?" He called it a heifer instead of a Hereford. "But that's a heifer, didn't it?" I said, "Hell no, that's a goddamn bull." I never forget that. Okay.
Robert, let me tell you. They're bored.
Just started this Angus cow. We were over there on Sumpton's farm. He's about the first one I guess around here that had the Angus cow. They all went over there to look at those black Angus cows. Around looking for this old man Whittington. There's one thing down sure, so you can't tell a damn thing about the age by looking at the horns.
Like corn, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going over and get some. You going to get some?
Where?
Over at the store.
Fine, I'll bring it. You want it this afternoon, you have to do it there. I'm going to have some ready in a few days. Then I'm going to bring some.
You all got corn?
I was yarning up that house. Back of the barn.
You have? Well, when do you...
Black-eyed tea?
Good God almighty, Robert. When do you get to work out the garden?
Well, I got Freddy to turn the thing for me.
Yeah.
And, let me see, I put down fertilizer one Saturday afternoon at Bill Tractor.
Yeah.
And lifted it up. And then I had to come up there when he was working 10 days to run up there.
Yeah.
And planted the stuff there. And I worked it one time, I think. But on the market.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, the children picked them all on yesterday and Sunday. That was really, but they'll be there on Sunday. And butter beans. I'm picking the butter beans as well. Well, I'll bring you something to eat.
No, don't.
He had an honorable discharge from the Naval Reserve on account of physical disability.
Yeah.
I don't see how the Army could take him after that, do you?
No. Well, maybe they just have to call him back ever so often.
I'm sure.
I'll run by the house, maybe.
You need it over this wall we're having now, though. I never have got too much enthused about it. It's been an unpopular war, you know it. What are you pointing at?
Them two birds in there.
You know, I saw something the other day.
Looks like got a something building that way.
That's a kingbird, ain't it?
I believe it is.
Looks like he's got him a bug. Sarah, yeah. And that Hendricks boy from down at the drugstore come riding by here. I saw something sitting on the front seat by him. And he's got a young sandhill crane about that high. Like a pet. He got him from some fella over around across the creek.
Okay.
And the thing is sitting up there, he wasn't old enough to have any tail feathers yet.
Think of that.
Some stick looks about like the size of a chick.
Yeah.
Another can right in there. Just lift up the cover and drop it in.
That, they look like they're nesting. Got that, that caterpillar in his mouth, a fly. You don't suppose they've got them off the nest already?
No, I think got a bug or something in there. I got some binoculars in here, you can see what he's got.
What's that?
You show him a rattlesnake's rattle.
He knows what that is.
He sure does.
He just don't like snakes.
How for you?
Miss Anna? It looks mighty good.
Lee gave me some and drank the rest.
Yeah. Well, at least you got a little bit.
Yes.
you say they're all out in the garden?
No. Butch had to go to Gainesville this morning. I don't know my thing.
Yeah.
And Danny had gone to Gainesville to bring him back.
Oh.
And I guess Ash and his daddy in the store.
Yeah, I saw Ash down there. He and BJ drove up.
Yes, you took a music lesson, and you have to go for it. Well, I just have a piece of bread, and then we'll go in the trunk.
Oh, Miss Anna, I'm going home and listen to the news. That's about the only program I listen to, is the evening news. They really fixed us up Saturday morning. Yes, sir. I mean, they fixed us up. The Pope went to see somebody over in Portugal.
Here's my boy. I'm so glad he's back.
Good evening. Good evening.
Now I got me drinking my Coca-Cola.
That's a long trip.
I'm afraid you don't miss the rain again.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad.
It's just not our time. We talked up the last night. It's raining. Just rain them out.
Oh, my.
That's the trouble. Or the
and
either. But that's all. He may be a deeply complicated man, but he's just a human being.
Yeah. And about all you saw, they went up in a helicopter and you followed him along the route there.
We are here in the morning. The bulletin read by Dr. DeHaven. He paid a good deal of attention to the young people. And he said, Sunday a week ago, as a guest, they had a Jewish rabbi to tell them about the Jewish religion.
Yeah.
And then this past Sunday afternoon, they had the Catholic priest, Church of the Assumption.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's good for us to know.
Well.
You know, the old Jewish faith from the Bible.
Well, I think it's nice for the young people to know those things.
I think so too.
But I don't care about it much. I'm glad that the Jews have a faith, but I'm not interested in it.
I'm no judge of anybody. But I haven't got anything against the Catholic Church.
No, I'm not a saint.
I've known some mighty dirty Catholics.
Mighty, yeah.
And I've known some that didn't know anything about it.
Yes.
My grandson married a little girl, and he was asking her what the Catholics believed.
The facts and figures about the nation's
obeying. What you got?
Obeying. Pepper. Sweet corn. Oh, I'm so glad I'm going to have some.
Sweet corn only is sold out. How about those peppers? They look pretty.
Goddamn.
What do you use them for?
Fried, stuff them, cut them up in salad.
Stuff them, that'd be nice.
Really good stuff.
Now this is not your regular bell peppers.
That's a bell pepper.
But it's not the big bell pepper.
Not the thick skin.
But it's still bell pepper. Used for the same purpose.
That's Cuban ale.
This is a Cuban.
Cuban ale pepper.
Cuban ale pepper. Oh, let me tell you.
I don't know.
But now it was a new kind of pepper. Is this a new kind?
That's been on the market, that tractor cut, for quite a while.
Yeah.
Sue's picking butter beans today, too.
Is that right? Out of our garden? Be fine. I'd like to get in on that. Good morning. Fresh onions. When you pick them, you got something to show for your trouble, Fred.
You said $8.30?
Yeah. No, I've got my little paper cut over there. I've been over talking to Boyd about keeping the coons out of watermelons. Well, that's the way they. That's the way they find out, Fred.
We are pumping water on.
Second day? Third day?
Third day. Started Saturday. Still pumping.
Still pumping. I believe Ash said it'd take you a week to get over that field up there. Or did you say that?
I don't know whether it will or not. It's kind of slow, but I don't think it'll take you. It's got about 45 acres left. Okay.
Goodness.
Fred is over close to, he'd be old close to 45.
Yeah. 3 days.
Yeah, we haven't been going real steady though, some kind of open. We've got big squashes and stuff.
Yeah. How much help's he got?
About him and JR moving the pipe. Mm-hmm.
But then if he has to leave, then that.
It takes two people up there to carry the pipe around.
Yeah.
I love to watch that thing run out there though.
Yeah.
And the vines so thirsty and all, and they're just skipping right up in
the
water.
Yeah, that's a great sight. I tell you, nothing quite as satisfying as have a good rain after a
yeah,
long
like
dry
rain.
Spell.
Nothing like a rain.
Nothing like a rain.
There's something pond water on them. Where did the wind and them pump from? When that water there's over, out of your pond or out of the prairie?
I think there's plenty of water there in the pond.
Coons still eating them, eh?
I went back there this morning with Marge Mickens, and there's plenty of time.
But the coons been eating them, right?
Yeah.
Has it killed any?
I haven't seen any.
Hmm.
That grass is so high around there, it's kind of hard to see. They didn't do anything over the weekend, you know. I figured maybe they'd have somebody up there Saturday.
I didn't see old Millen cut over there in our field yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, they may be a little shyer than they are around here. See, that's way back in the woods.
That's not right on the road.
It It's on the on the highway, and nobody lives back in there, those folks.
Yeah. But you haven't done anything and put out any bait?
I haven't put out any bait at all. No. I don't like to put stuff out if I keep them. I'm scared of it. I'm scared I'll kill somebody's dog or something like that. I never like to put it out. I have put it out because I had to several times, but I never liked it.
My,
back Angus Steers up in my face.
How'd they get over there?
Lake down and then come through the fence.
Oh.
Around it. And they got them out there, I think, this morning and fixing the fence up there.
Oh, when that water goes down, they got to keep
the fence out there. You build a fence out in the water and the lake comes up over it, it don't take it but a little while to rust out. Be surprised. It won't be over 2 or 3 years there. Wow, the rust all be so you can't even put a permanent fence. They should put side and forward out there.
Well, you could do that, Fred, but still you got to mend them every now and then.
They'll last that long and anything else to cycle.
Yeah. I haven't seen Robert or anybody today. I been away from the house. Yeah.
I take my dogs over and run them, but I ain't care what dogs over there they got poison eggs that I can tell you that.
Well,
I don't know if my dogs are eating eggs, but I'm not.
They know where they put the eggs, you know. And they can walk out there and see where the coons have got them. So there's not much of a chance as far as that goes. They put them out to see to be seen. They don't hide them. From what I hear, it wouldn't hurt to put the dogs out and let them run them a little bit.
That's the best way to get them out of there.
Just run them.
Run them 2 or 3 nights or have dogs. They will come back in there very much. They don't like to be around a dog.
Yeah. Put some of them Flambeau out that he's talking about. Put a few lights out there. I don't know. They seem to think that would make a difference.
I just.
Fred, what time do you want to go get no
smoke? Pretty soon, I reckon. Come back and we'll get more from
it.
Sweet them. It's good. Golden Bantam Cross. Yeah, I had some in you. That guy runs that store down in Ocala.
Called me out of it. He
wanted to buy those peas. I wouldn't sell those peas.
Good.
Fred,
you know where that
corn at?
Yeah. Look
at my
poultry.
They're pretty, aren't they, Jane?
Yeah.
And just fresh.
Fancy.
By
yours. Yeah. They are from my little yellow row of days.
Exactly. That ought to be enough of them. Might be darn things don't ever get tough.
Well, maybe if you let them stay there long enough, they would, but the big one's just as tender as they can be.
That's the idea.
That about enough?
Let's fill it up.
Okay.
See, she keeps some. She gives Miss Liza a few, and she gives me a few. And that beats everybody having to cook them.
She cooks them for you. Puts a bunch of buck ball. Piece of fat meat in there and fixes them up.
Oh, she don't use fat meat.
She don't?
No.
We just make them do it.
Yeah, I know. She don't use it.
Ham hocks is what we put in.
Yeah.
Now, how am I going to get some butter beans and some fresh corn?
I'll get the corn down here, but I don't know about the butter beans. Sue and woman up there working on it. Well, that's about 70 or maybe 75 cents, you want? About 80 cents.
I'll have them put down in a second.
All right. And I'd like to have some butter beans. That may be all the butter beans I'll get this year.
Well, I'm going to have to find out today what they're going to do about them butter beans.
Okay.
They got a bunch of them, I know that.
Well, whatever they do, it should be all right.
Come on, Bob.
Yeah, I had my...
How much do you say I owe to be?
9 cents for those up.
And Miss Jane says she's pitching. Hey. They are big, fat ones.
Yeah, they are.
And still tender.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. But I'll pick some today. I certainly will.
Miss Liza all right?
No, she's hurt her foot somehow or another. She's got a sprained foot. She's hopping on it, but she ain't. Couldn't go to church yesterday.
Notches in the wheel, sort of.
Then you bore holes.
Yeah.
Then you put a shaft, put a broomstick to the hole.
Yeah.
And then you have that frame that has these are slats on. It comes up and they drop a little notch. You can take it like this and pull it
around. Oh, yeah.
Pull that along, and the drunkard's ragged to scare anything to death.
Yeah, what'd you call it?
Horse fiddle.
Horse fiddle, yes. You can buy them toys, you know.
I think you can probably.
You can buy. I bought toys like that, and I never made one. I never thought about making one.
I made several. You get a box, which you want to make it, and then you take furniture, you know, like you take mortises, and timbers for that big frame barn, and take furniture. And then them slats when they grow, you make them slats now a little different length.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And make them out of hickory and honey, or what, and or water like the big thing. Now, if I have some way to fix up something like that, out of battery, then all the batteries are out there. Now, it wouldn't need to be big or anything wrong, hot, heavy.
And you wouldn't want it to run all the time, would you?
No.
You'd want it to go on and off. Well, how would you put your windmill? How would you work your windmill?
Well, you could have a windmill off there. You could have it so it can make a noise. Make that difference. You had some slats on it, had a spring on it or something. It would flip on that. It would make a noise.
Just a plain little windmill wouldn't make enough noise, would it?
No. Power enough to swing something heavy.
Well, now, what else did you say? That's what you said, right at the windmill first.
Yeah, windmill. Pitch it up so it's wind. So that would keep them away, but then you better have a battery. So that would, you could get that so it would go off and on. Just take a battery out there, I'd be able to rig up something to make a noise. Any kind of a noise, most to know, it would be sufficient to scare them.
In the daytime, you can turn it off. They don't work it in the daytime.
No, you can turn it off in the daytime.
I don't know.
Coon generally with all works pretty early in the evening.
Well, a good bit before dark.
Yeah. It's really dark. I imagine you can tell the watching and find out about what time they come on.
I wish I had.
Walking on would scare them or not. I don't hardly believe it would.
I tell you what, what this colored man said, this
well, I go over to Maryland Student Party, to get my hair fixed. Oh, she keeps her yard just big and fancy out there, raking and picking up moss and everything. And you can always stop and visit with her when you go to the youth parlor.
But you know, that's one of the old instincts, the old pages, is taking care of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
You just work hard on that in the cool of the morning.
And it's real interesting, you know, I've watched her wash her hair out on the back porch sometimes. So funny. But she loves little children to come visit her. And Brent just loves to go over and talk to her, down, Carl, and I'll go visit with her. And sometimes Brent will visit a whole hour with her while I'm having my hair fixed. And she really seems to enjoy it. Sometimes they help her around the yard. The other day, Dal went over there, and both Carla and I were having our hair cut, so it took a good hour and a half. And by the time we got washed and everything. And Dal thoroughly enjoyed himself. He just had a ball. Dal likes to hear about the past. Miss Johnson was telling him about the old Micanopy school and the way things used to be in Micanopy years ago. And he just sits there in rapt attention around the edge of his chair for a whole hour, and they just sit and talk. And usually when I go over to retrieve the children, I stay and talk with her for a little while. It's real funny that the children get restless if I'm visiting with them. But it's all right if they go visit alone and talk to her.
Yeah.
It's real strange because I've gone over and Brent will sit there in the, sometime in the hallway when it's cold in the winter and talk to her. And he's always telling her things like, you know what, you need your roof fixed, and do things like that, and she thinks it's funny. But I can go, and just as soon as I go over there, though, he'll become restless and want to leave. Isn't that funny? She just has a real way with children, though. She talks very direct to them. you know, she asks them questions, and like she's just most interested, and she talks as personal to children as anyone I've seen. Mm-hmm. And they know it. They really know it. Other adults kind of talk at them. She talks to them. You ought to watch her. Of course, she was a teacher for a long time. She was always very patient, and ones who had her really respected her and liked her very much. She hasn't lost his touch. So, she's an interesting thing. Now, I enjoy her. She, you know, just like her little Sunday school lesson, she tries so hard to plan those just to a T. She even assigns parts and things of this sort and works on it like it's an assignment of some kind. She doesn't take it lightly at all. Works on it all week.
Yeah.
But this is good for her because it gives her something to think about, something to work toward. And sometimes you can go over and talk to her, and she tells you about Ms. Edna, you know, and all of them, what, 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
And she's always willing to share a little bit about the past with you, about when the house was built, Mr. Johnson, and how Evanston was a long time ago. So I like, I'm kind of like Dale, I like to hear about how things were. You see how they are now.
Mr. Johnson died a good while ago, I think.
A long time ago. Yeah, he was very unlike her. She has always had a very pleasing, easygoing nature. Very slow to impatience and anger. And he was the opposite. A little bit on the difficult side at times. She's always been very anti-toddies, and he kind of likes toddies too. Quite different. She really likes to talk about her children too. You know, she's just as proud of them as she can be. Clyde and Eva, Mary. And so she has, I think, a real good outlook to be old like that and living by herself. But she doesn't eat properly. But
that's one trouble, yeah.
But beyond that, but you know, she's so frail, and she reminds you of a little bird.
Yeah.
But in the long run, they're probably the healthier than the ones that overeat, because she doesn't have all that fat to carry around.
Uh-huh.
But so I think just washing her hair on the back, that back suit though, is the thing that amuses me the most. That just reminds me of when I was a little girl, really, because that's what we used to do.
Uh-huh.
In a basin on the back porch, you know. You don't see that done anymore. And what's so funny is this is right next to the modern beauty parlor. You know, you're in there getting your hair washed in this fancy sink, getting it dried, and here you look out the window while you're getting yours fixed and see Ms. Johnson on the back porch washing her hair in the basin, hanging it out in the sun.
Yeah.
You span 50 years in a glance. Just sitting there.
When do you see
I don't get to see her much now. I used to see her more. You know, since she has been in poor health, she doesn't get around very much, and I sometimes don't quite know when to go visit her. But she's always jolly, and she doesn't talk about her children very much, like what Ms. Johnson says. She doesn't refer to them quite so often. She just talks general most of the time. Very much like Frank would do. She's got a great sense of humor.
Oh, my, yeah.
Great. And, you know, Frank's so quiet, kind of half serious.
He's quiet.
Iris ever told, well, I guess perhaps she told you too, was when she was kidding him one time about never telling her he loved her. Do you remember that?
I remember that
as a girl. I forgot. And, I think she made some reference to it, and he said, I told you once, but I don't want to tell you again. Oh, dear.
To go back to our cases on the telephone, Johnny gets involved in horses, and he gets so he learns, and he works. direct approach to work.
You don't suppose he's trying to get around work by working at?
And then in your little group over there, you've got to work in some sort of game to get them their attention to that, so you can go in and talk.
You have to involve them, that's what it is. You have to involve them.
So in a way, you have to supply the horses for them to get involved with.
I guess you'd say that, about the same, lots of ways. Except that the situation's a little different. He's not going for any reason, particularly, other than the fact he's all enjoying them. I can't be sure that these kids go to these meetings for just the reason of enjoyment. Maybe this is why you have to find a horse. I think sometimes it's because their parents think they should go, or maybe even they think they should go. I think a few really enjoy it. But out of 15 children, I'd say about 4 do.
I don't.
Mm-hmm. About 4 would really enjoy going in, or maybe 5, but not more than that. Why the others there are there because their buddy goes, their girlfriend goes. Their parents think they should go. They think they should because it's the thing to do.
Yeah.
But to really go to get something out of it, though.
And if they don't go, they won't have anything to do. They'll be at home.
They'll be at home. So if you really weeded out the interested ones, I could get down to a little group of 5 and you could work with them. You wouldn't have to try to involve them to start with. You could go right in and start talking to them. But it's just large groups that include in with the 5 somewhere or other.
Now that's where you get in your guessing games and identifying the little verses and all like that.
Well, sometimes I find that they're competitive, basically. They always want to beat somebody at that age. And if you can think up a team game where the boys are against the girls or 3 against 3 or something of this sort, they're competitive enough to pay attention to the rules. And you can so who gets the answer first, and then you can get them involved and participating, and then you can stop this, and then go on with an idea once you've got their attention, and say, well, now what do you think about this? And you can get them to participate. But when you go into a group like that cold turkey, they're each participating with a person next to them. Except for this about 4 or 5 who may pay attention to what you may be trying to say to them. And if you go ahead and just start presenting anything to them,
Yeah. You
only keep the 5 that you have. The others will continue right in front of you, in spite of you, or anything you want to say, and continue their conversation for the full hour. And they don't consider this discourteous at all, strange. Yeah, they come from homes where courtesy is taught. Mine are just as guilty of this.
Court does it all the time, back there.
Okay. Yes, she does it. Yeah. Flora does too.
Yeah.
She does it. My son was doing it last Sunday. Back there on the back. Mm-hmm.
They love to talk when somebody's talking up front. The grown people. There must be sort of a forbidden idea.
I don't know what it is.
Doing what's forbidden, the pleasure of doing what's sort of forbidden.
Well, you see, maybe Miss Johnson with her assignment is doing the same thing that I do when I institute some sort of a game. She's making them participate. Because they're going to be called on. They have something they've got to do. And they can't sit back there and ignore the situation. I think it's the same. It's an adult game.
Well, now, let me see. What is it? What's one of your lessons? What is it you'd be teaching?
Well, they were sort of detached Sunday before last, and I thought, well, maybe it's this time of year because there are a lot of them tired. They're having these tests, and there's a lot of social activities going on. And I thought, well, I'll just try something that moves fast and try to convey one or two points from the lesson to them and do it in the form of sort of games, if possible. And so to just to get them started and make them start doing something, if it was nothing but pay attention. I had this mathematical group of mathematical equations that you'd have to look in the Bible to get your bearings from, and then you had to figure them out mathematically to find out how many cubits the arc was, and how many windows it had in all its arc. But then this was to also give them a concept that this was a monumental task that no one took. This is one thing. Follow God's command. God was supposedly just sort of just unhappy and displeased that man had fallen so far from his expectations at this point. And Noah was, according to the scripture, a very good man, worthwhile. And so he gave Noah these instructions to build this ark. And as these children have grown up, they've seen pictures of a little boat floating on the water with a gangplank and two animals going in and out of it. And if you figure it out according to the Bible, it's a tremendous thing. It's about four stories high, and it's about the longer than a football field. And would have to be. So I thought, out of curiosity, said, what is your concept of an ark to start with? And it's just a little thing that Noah took. It was a little commission that God gave him. And they, interesting on the left, did think of it in terms of a large barge or a large floating barn. Interesting. One or two thought of it as a small boat from childhood. Most of them had matured or read it enough to think a little bit bigger than this. And so they kind of worked out the size of it. And then we went on from there.
Now, is that what you want? That's your warm-up?
My warm-up, except that I was trying to give them an idea that when Noah undertook this in that day and time, it would have been a tremendous task. It wouldn't have been something you would do in a short while either. You couldn't build something with the tools they had of that magnitude. And then I sort of gave them a little story to catch them about what would have happened if he hadn't followed instructions. You know, what would have, if he'd been like most of the rest of the people had been at this point. He wouldn't have built the ark in the first place, and he wouldn't have been saved. And I try to bring in the fact that we're given rules too to follow all the time, and whether we obey them or not, according to what life is going to be for us. And try to just take a game actually and tie it into just something that will make them think just a little bit. So you don't just play the game and drop it like a game. And try to give it just a little bit of meaning. And I feel like by getting 3 points of meaning in maybe an hour with something that's going to keep them working or thinking, that I can some days accomplish about as much. Poor way to do it, but it'll work.
Now, and how do you adapt that for your first leaders up at the hospital? What do you call them?
Our paramedical students. Well, one, I found out that if
they are 10th grade.
No.